Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, family? This is about to be an incredible show. First off, you. Yes, you. It's great to have you. If this is your first time, volume up, put your remote down, and stay for a while. Why? Because Dave Hellman, NFL insider, he knows all things about all things, so glad to have him. Joy Taylor, the brilliant Joy Taylor, needs no introduction. Did the herd today. Double duty.
Well done.
Well done. Well done. NBA insider, Slick Rick Dubuque, and the nickname.
What's the handshake?
You have one?
I don't know where
just
we're
gentlemen, doctor, just
doctor.
Gentlemen,
oh,
just gentlemen.
I should be wearing a mascot.
Now look, I don't know how I feel about having a show with somebody named Slick and somebody named Shady. It feels real deceitful.
Keep you on your toes.
They really feel real deceitful.
Disrespect. I felt disrespected.
A lot right there.
But this is my dog, Eagles all-time rushing leader, LeSean Shady McCoy. Okay, the clock is ticking on NFL franchise tag usage. Lamar Jackson, the biggest name in the NFL, he can be franchise tagged. That window, it opened yesterday. We are on day two of the 15-day window. Now, Lamar is still in Baltimore, but that future is in question. If y'all haven't been paying attention, the Ravens hired a new offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, from Georgia. Georgia just won the national championship. But he said that he hasn't spent too much time with Lamar. In regards to the holdout, they said, quote, "We'll cater to what he knows and plays." That is Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator, speaking. Now, my thought is very, very, very simple. It is time for Lamar Jackson to be the bad guy, period. It's time for Lamar Jackson to stop half-stepping and trying to be the good guy but getting what bad guys get. It's time for Lamar Jackson to say, you know what, I'm going to just hold out. You know what? I'm tired of being Mr. Nice Guy. Lamar Jackson, before the season, he said, I don't want no distractions. But instead, he didn't get the contract that he deserves. Whereas Kyler Murray removes all the Cardinals association from his social media, he gets paid. Aaron Rodgers threatens to retire, he gets paid. But Lamar Jackson, he is the good cop. And what's he get? He gets injured in the midst of the season without that $250 million to his name. I am tired of watching Lamar Jackson half step. If you want to get what bad guys get, and in the NFL, bad guys get breaded. If you want to get what bad guys get, then you have to fully commit momentarily, Lamar, not for the rest of your life, but fully commit for a moment to being the bad guy. Shady McCoy, you got big time money, big dog. You're a good guy. You're a good guy. In my mind, Shady, you're a good guy. But you got big time money. How should Lamar Jackson handle his contract dispute?
Say hello to the bad guy. Say hello to the bad guy. You got to be a bad guy. You just talked about it. I think Lamar Jackson's issue last year, or this year, I should say, was he was too nice. Came to the OTAs, came to mini camps, was being a real true captain, being a real true leader. That gets you nowhere, right? Aaron Donald, we talked about Aaron Donald, one of my favorite guys, one of my good friends. Listen, I'll retire. If I don't get my money I want, I'm going to retire.
Good point.
All players go through this. When there's money that's involved, it's a business. See, the thing is, like, we love the game because we play it since we've been 5 years old, 6 years old. So it's like a game to us. This is a business. Lamar Jackson, don't step on that field. Don't answer no calls. Unless it's your agent. don't be friendly. Hardball, bang. We can't have no conversation because when you try to be the nice guy and go to OTAs and work with the young players like you're supposed to, be that leader.
Yeah.
They didn't work out no contract with you.
Yeah.
So until you get the number close to where it needs to be at, I will not show up and be a nice guy.
Shady, that's so easy for me to say sitting in this chair. It's probably easier now for you to say sitting in this chair. I've known you for over a decade now.
Right?
And you are genuinely just a fun, happy-go-lucky, a great individual. But when it's time to get that paper, you got to change your act. How hard is it? Because by every metric, Lamar Jackson is quite literally an amazing human being.
Yeah.
FaceTiming in a middle school kid's classrooms, like charitable, all those things. How hard is it to tell somebody who literally prides themselves in being an incredible person, hey, I need you to be a bad guy?
It's normally hard to do. You love the game. You love your teammates, right? You get to, like, camp, and you can't wait. There's been times with DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin and Michael Vick where I haven't seen him for a little bit, and I can't wait to get there to see my boys. But when it's about that money, this should be easy for Lamar Jackson. The reason why is because he already did the good guy role. He already tried that. He tried to be a nice guy. So now you got to go in there, listen, I try to be nice with y'all. Y'all didn't want to pay me. So I can't come to OTAs. You heard what the new office coordinator said. He said, we're going to try to fit everything, you know, for Lamar Jackson. Duh. Yeah, you need to, right? Simplify as much as possible and have an offense based around me because I'm the main guy. You know that. We need the owner and the head coach to know that. Give me my money, what I need, what I deserve, and I'll be out there for Sunday.
Joy, break this down. How should Lamar Jackson handle his current contract dispute?
Yeah, I agree with both of you. It's time to enter your villain era. It's very fun. I love being a villain. I have no problem doing that, especially when it comes to business. What happened? It's not in the paper. I don't know what you're talking about. And the worst part is, Shady, you just said it. He already tried being the nice guy. Oh. Ain't nothing worse than being the nice guy. You only get to play me once. You better get your money's worth. And the Ravens did. The Ravens got their money's worth from playing him. Now it's no more Mr. Nice Guy. He can't show up. He can't cooperate. He's got to take it all the way down to the wire to get everything that he wants. And I think he will. Because at the end of the day, all this talk about the Ravens can build a team a different way.
Maybe they'll
trade him. We got defense. We won without quarterbacks. Oh, that's real cute. That's real cute. But the Ravens are looking around the NFL just like the rest of us are, and they see who they have to play. Yeah. They see who's in their division. I think Joe Burrow, they ain't built their defense.
They're getting better.
They're going to be all right. I tend to think the Steelers will be all right.
They're going to be better, too.
I think the Browns are going to be
all right. Yes, they will.
So what, are you going to roll out there with 12 points a game?
And the one team without a quarterback?
Yeah. Cute. Sound good. We'll find out. So I think he has to do it that way. And it's unfortunate because we usually don't see guys do it this way. And we don't really have that much of a problem with it. And even when we do, who cares? Who cares if you're mad at me about my social media, everybody? You think Kyler Murray gives a bleep about what any of us thought about social media? He is hurt, and he got all the money. He is not concerned about what anybody up here or anyone else thinks about it, or the Cardinals, for that matter. Sorry about it. Y'all the ones that signed the check. You're the ones that bugged. Yeah. You gave me the money. Why am I supposed to apologize for it? So at the end of the day, does anyone really that mad when you play this type of villain? We all know what's going to happen.
Can I ask y'all a good faith question? Like, I promise, I'm not trying to be difficult. I agree with everything that y'all said. And the last thing I want to do is cape for billionaires. Like, that's not my game. I'm on the side of...
I'm
on the side of the workforce. You always do that.
It sounds like you're about to say...
I'm interested.
Here's the question. Yes, I think Lamar Jackson should do that. Do everything you need to do to get your money, to get paid, to be at the top of the market. But what is the dividing line? And it comes back to what we've been talking about since the summer. Does Lamar Jackson have a number less than every cent of his contract guaranteed, which is what Deshaun Watson got? We think, we're not part of these negotiations, but we think that might be the fly in the ointment that is the reason that he's not signed. Mm-hmm. So are you willing to, are you saying anything less than the best is a felony? Anything less than every cent guaranteed? You sit out because that's where it gets dicey for me. I think Lamar Jackson, sit out to have the biggest contract. You know, beat Josh Allen's $258 million. Beat Kyler Murray or even Aaron Rodgers' $50 million. If you want to be paid at $55 million a year, that's fine. If you want to have $200 million guaranteed, which we have not seen yet, I don't believe, that's great. Do that. And you should be willing to sit out to get that. But if he says, I'm not showing up until you promise me a fully guaranteed deal, should the Ravens balk at that? And I don't know the answer,
honestly.
Shady
made a great point in the pre-show meeting about this. There is a place where the Ravens and Lamar can meet in the middle.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson could sign a three-year, $155 million deal, putting him above Aaron Rodgers on average income annually. Or he could sign a deal that's shorter than Deshaun Watson's, fully guaranteed, but not as much guaranteed money as Deshaun Watson. He could sign a two-year, $100 million deal. Now, I don't know that he'll do that because the dilemma you run is in 2 years, now you got to go find that paper again. Furthermore, $100 million guaranteed is still less than $150 million guaranteed. Now, you could come up for free agency sooner and say, you know, you can get that bag sooner, but it's still less. But I do have a grievance with Lamar.
Okay.
My grievance with Lamar is this, and Shady, you know this better than anybody on television, I would suggest. Billionaires don't just give you money.
Right.
Billionaires don't become billionaires by being overly generous, unless they need tax exemptions. And some aren't even worried about that. Billionaires don't become billionaires by giving you money. You got to go get what's yours. I didn't like the nice guy act in the first place.
Right.
When Kyler Murray got his money a year ago now by removing all the stuff on social media, we talked about it on our shows. Hey, I feel you, Kyler. When Aaron Rodgers said he was going to go host Jeopardy. Like, y'all really feel this? He said he was going to go host a TV show, but he got his paper. Meanwhile, Lamar wants to be the good soldier, but how good a soldier? Because Lamar Jackson tweets about, man, that Walmart money different. Lamar Jackson takes that sign after the game, pay the man. The man should have got paid. Lamar should have been paid. Lamar shouldn't have been a nice guy from the jump, because in the NFL, more often than not, now we did see Patrick Mahomes, he got his, Josh Allen, he got his, but more often than not, Joy Taylor, LeSean McCoy, in the NFL, you can't get your money by being nice, 2-5. You just can't.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think that the cool thing is that he learned that, right? I mean, it's one thing to hear about it and see different players go through it, but it's not like you going through it.
Yeah,
so now when he tried to be the nice guy, it didn't work out. I think, listen, every player, even Deshaun Watson, he got a great deal and it's guaranteed. But I'm sure he probably pushed for more. Mm-hmm. They probably pushed back, and then they met in the middle. I don't know if the whole thing will be guaranteed for Lamar Jackson. I hope it is. I'm sure they can meet in the middle. I think, like you talk about the billionaires, they have a product that he or Lamar Jackson is a product that they want. Mm-hmm. They need him. They need him. They can't win without Lamar Jackson. That's evident. That's factual. We've seen it. My thing is this, make it meet in the middle and pay this guy. You can't win without a franchise quarterback.
Here's the thought, though, Joy and Dave, as we conclude this conversation. Shady, you said something I don't fully agree with. And the reason
I don't agree with it is because
owners are cocky. I don't believe billionaires think they need anybody.
Sure.
I don't think they need one of their entities.
They need him to have a successful business with the Ravens.
But do they feel like that? Because whether that's true or not, 2-5, if they don't feel like that, Joy, they not going to cut the check that Lamar wants them to cut.
Well, facts don't really care about your feelings.
But they care about your paycheck.
If the Ravens want to contend for a Super Bowl, they need a franchise quarterback. If the Ravens are content maybe winning a division every once in a while, maybe making the playoffs, maybe winning a playoff game, then no, they don't need Lamar Jackson. You can keep all your money. You're not winning a Super Bowl in this league without a franchise quarterback, Hall of Famer, or Nick Foles. In the last 10 years, that's who's won Super Bowls.
Yeah.
I didn't make it up. I don't make the rules. That's what happened. Since the Ravens have last won a Super Bowl, if your name isn't Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, or Nick Foles, you're not winning a Super Bowl. So unless you plan to be the outlier, which is Nick Foles, then you're not winning. Do you want to be the outlier? Or do you want to push all your eggs in the basket that we'll be the ones to figure it out and get there and win? Okay. I personally would rather be the rule than the outlier. So billionaires are also smart. That's how they get to be that level of money, or somebody gives them that money and they manage to keep it. Either way, it requires some intelligence. So they know that that's how it works, because I'm not giving you new information. We all know this. We've watched it, including the Ravens. So they might not think they need him or feel that they need him, but they will find out very quickly. The check doesn't have to be, to Dave's point and Shady's point, they'll meet a place that's reasonable. And it might not sound reasonable to us, because it will be a massive deal, but it won't be fully guaranteed. I've always said I don't think another owner is going to give a fully guaranteed contract, because you reach a point of diminished returns with contracts. All companies reach that point where it doesn't matter how much we want to pay you. At one point or another, it will start hurting our company if we pay you this much. The Browns are in a crazy situation with his money next year. Crazy. They got to win a Super Bowl next year to make that make sense. Everyone knows that. They just have to find something that works. And honestly, a longer deal would make more sense.
I hope y'all are right. Like, that would be the best thing for everybody. But the divide between every cent guaranteed and even 70% guaranteed,
big gap.
It's huge.
Big gap.
I hope it comes to a great conclusion. I would love for Lamar Jackson to stay in Baltimore. But that's what gives me pause, is who comes off of their number more. And for the record, I don't know that that's what Lamar Jackson wants. I suspect that he might. And that could make this very dicey over the next few months.
Well, coming up, you will not believe what was said about one of the best players in basketball, Kevin Durant. It was said that if he does not win a title in Phoenix, it would be the biggest failure of his illustrious career. Oh, we cannot wait to talk about that one. That's next on Speak. Wow. Look, if you're currently watching Speaker and Look, because this topic is about to be fireworks, Kevin Durant, he is now in Phoenix after the huge trade out of Brooklyn. But that move also brings along big expectations. Former NBA All-Star Gilbert Arenas said, if KD does not bring a title to the Suns, it would be, quote, the biggest failure for Kevin Durant, close quote. I love this topic. I love Kevin Durant topics because he's one of the greatest and most polarizing figures in all of basketball. I have a very unique stance on this being Kevin Durant's biggest failure, but I will save it because, Joy, I want to hear you first. Would not winning in Phoenix be KD's biggest failure?
I think what happened in Brooklyn was KD's biggest failure. But I don't even know if it's really KD's failure. And even if it is KD's failure, I mean, I'll take that as a failure. If that's the worst that he's been in his career and the worst situation that he's dealt with in his career, it's a pretty successful career. I struggle to look at the failures in KD's career because I don't look at Brooklyn as being solely on KD. And I think he's had success everywhere he's gone, including Brooklyn. He was one toe away from beating Giannis. So if he doesn't win a title with the Suns, I think it'll be disappointing, but I wouldn't look at it as a failure. I think what happened with Brooklyn, considering all the talent that they had there and everything that went on, right now we look at that as a failure.
Slick, where do you stand on that? KD's biggest failure, would it actually be not winning in Phoenix, or would it be something else?
It is without question what happened in Brooklyn. And my job here today is to convince Joy not to half step into that, but to step all the way into it and say, yes, it was a failure. Because Kevin Durant didn't just go to the Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant was given his chosen co-star, Kyrie Irving, in going to the Nets. He wasn't just given his co-star. He was given his head coach, Steve Nash. That's what he wanted. He was given his chosen big man, DeAndre Jordan. He was essentially given everything that he wanted in order to have success in Brooklyn. And what happened? We had three playoff appearances. We got to the second round once. You know who else had that exact same impact on the Nets? It would be Deron Williams back in 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015. Did we look at Deron Williams? Did we put him in the same category as Kevin Durant? We do not. What were our expectations? Oh, and by the way, you know what? One co-star is not good enough. Let's go get James Harden. We'll give you two co-stars. What are we going to get? And look, it's not strictly KD's fault that all of that happened. But he went there and he created expectations that didn't come close to getting met. So I can't help but feel as if it was a failure.
2-5, where you stand on this one, man? What would KD's biggest failure be? Is it not winning a title in Phoenix if that happens?
It's hard to say failure with Kevin Durant, but if I had to pick, because I have to pick, I'm going to say prior with Phoenix. He's a 3-year deal left. I expect him to go out there and make some big noise and win a championship. I'm going to push back on all that, the Nets, right? Because for one, I highly doubt he called the Nets, we need to get DeAndre Jordan here. We got to get him.
Oh, no.
I highly doubt that. Hold up. And also, Kyrie, all the players he got there with James Harden and Kyrie Irving, he was the only one that was playing. James Harden got hurt, and you know how James Harden is. He's, you know, one foot in the club, one foot in the court. And the other one, Kyrie Irving, had so much stuff off the court. Kevin Durant can't control who plays. He can't control that. Moving forward, I think with the Suns, you have a guy like Chris Paul, who's dying to get a championship, who's willing to do whatever it takes to get a championship. That's one check. Then you got Booker. Devin Booker is a beast, who's an all-star in himself. He wants to get a championship. He talks about how he loves Kobe Bryant. He models game after Kobe Bryant. This is Kobe Bryant type of moment. You got the players you need to win a championship. So I think if I had to pick any type of failure, which is hard to even pick with Kevin Durant, I mean, one of the best players to ever touch a basketball, I think it would be with the Suns. They have all the players to win a championship.
Here was my thoughts, Slick. I thought about this for a long time. Like, how can you associate a failure with Kevin Durant?
KD, that's a goal.
But then I remembered that phrase that, like, the joy is in the journey. For so many athletes, it's not ascending to the mountaintop. Right. It's not planting the flagpole at the mountain. It's in the journey.
Yeah.
For me, Kevin Durant's biggest failure wouldn't be a shortcoming in Phoenix. It would be the journey. What's the narrative that's followed Kevin Durant? He's a ring chaser. What's the narrative that follows Kevin Durant? He's not the bus driver. Well, the reason he's not the bus driver is because when a bus driver stops, they don't get off. The passengers do. K- Kevin Durant is the one that's getting on the bus and getting off the bus. Meanwhile, drivers are just sitting there pushing it steady. So for me, the failure for Kevin Durant, it's not even what happened in Brooklyn. It's not necessarily what happened in what would happen in Phoenix or could happen. It's not even what would happen or could happen or did happen in Golden State. It is going from OKC to Golden State, leaving Golden State when KD, you would have had at least one to two to maybe three more rings, leaving Golden State, going to Brooklyn. Leaving Brooklyn, going to Phoenix. For me, Kevin Durant, if there is a failure, it's not what might happen in Phoenix. It is the narrative that's followed him of being a ring chaser and the journey of trying to find rings and not successfully finding them. LeBron James left Cleveland, went to Miami, got a ring. Left Miami, went to L.A., got a ring. Left Miami, went back to Cleveland, got a ring. Anywhere LeBron goes to chase them things, he getting them rings. But Kevin Durant, it's like he's going to different places to find the rings, and he was successful in Golden State, but he hasn't found success at every stop. Slick?
No, that's fair. And by the way, you know that you are a master when you take somebody else's analogy and then you kill it with the bus driver getting off and off, on and off the bus. That was extremely well done. This is the distinction I want to make, and it's important here because I think that Joy and I are closer to this than maybe it would appear. And it's that I don't necessarily fault KD, and with you too. Like, he's had a great career because he's a great player. He's accomplished. He's demonstrated what a great player he is. But he went to Brooklyn for a certain thing, which was to show that he could win a ring outside of the Golden State Warriors, Steph, and an established championship team. Did he accomplish that? No, he did not. And he was able to set the table. And you may not, I don't know whether Kyrie made the call or whether KD made the call, but one of them made the call to Sean Marks and said, we're coming if you give us DeAndre Jordan too. Otherwise, DeAndre Jordan doesn't get $40 million from the Brooklyn Nets. I digress. The point is, he was able to create a universe where he was the most important player. And you're right. Kyrie's issues, okay, he couldn't have anticipated that, yeah. Or could he have?
Could he have taken a shot?
No, not just the vaccine.
What else?
Look, he walked out of Cleveland. He walked out of Boston. Like, you knew who Kyrie was. James Harden comes. You're saying one foot in the club, one foot on the court. Okay, was suddenly in Brooklyn that happened? No, we knew who James Harden was. KD knew who James Harden was. So if he built a universe that ultimately caved in on itself, don't we have to give KD some responsibility for that?
If I call Joy and I call you and I call you and I say, let's work together, right? I think it would be great for TV.
Yeah.
And then you start getting crazy. You in every club every night, not working hard. You don't want to take the vaccine shot. You worried about your makeup all day. Like, I can't control that.
Okay, but
do you understand that? How can we fault Kevin Durant?
If I was always in the club, if like you knew that was part of my deal,
but you was getting 40.
And then you hired me.
But that's when he was getting them 40s.
I can fault KD for not being the level of GM that LeBron is, but none of that has to do with KD being a player. Like, all of that stuff is okay. So maybe KD isn't good at putting personalities together to play together on a team.
Okay.
But that's actually not what players are supposed to do. Whether that's become a part of the modern era or not, we have found and we've learned that that doesn't always match up the way that we think it will. It doesn't always play out the way
that we think it will. But he chose to do that. Like, he chose
to put this team together. Sure, but that's not him as a player. Like, the fact that he had that power and that he used it, I don't fault him for. I can say he wasn't great at that, but that to me doesn't reflect on his legacy.
That's fair.
Or what happened.
But I would say,
like, those are two different conversations. Did KD team up with the right people? Did they push for the right people? Maybe not, because we can say no because it didn't work. Right. But LeBron has been better at that. But LeBron is a different type of player, and I don't want to get into the comparison.
Okay.
But what I will say is, if not winning a championship with the Suns would be his biggest failure, would winning a championship with the Suns erase all of this for everyone? Like,
that would go a long way.
They're going to hit on KD, whatever he does.
Maybe that's a spin it forward conversation.
Yeah.
But to me, if it's going to be that much of a failure, then it must be that much of an achievement if he does end up winning a championship with the Suns.
A question that needs an answer, but not now, Slick. That's how you tease television. Because coming up, we go from Kevin Durant to LeBron James. Shaq thinks that LeBron has already earned a statue as a Laker. So has LeBron's tenure in L.A. been a success? One ring. Miss the playoffs. Ups, downs. We'll talk about it. Next on Speak. Go nowhere.
There we go.
Now, LeBron James and the Lakers could miss the playoffs for the third time since he's been in L.A. But keep in mind, he brought a title to the Lakers. That was during that bubble year. He also recently set the all-time scoring record wearing purple and gold. Shaquille O'Neal said he would not oppose LeBron getting a statue as a Laker. One of my favorite conversations of the day. Here's why, 2-5. There has been a lot of highs and lows, positive and negative feedback around LeBron's tenure in L.A. I think that LeBron's tenure in L.A. has been a success for the Lakers, but not a success for LeBron James. Mm. LeBron James is one of the best players of all time. LeBron James, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kareem, however you look at it. When LeBron was in his prime, chip after chip after chip, appearance at least. But then he went to L.A., and let's not forget what happened that first year as a Laker. That broke LeBron James' streak of going to 8 consecutive NBA finals. 8 straight. Shows up in L.A., that streak gets broken. Now, thankfully, he won in the bubble year, but I can't deny the fact that while LeBron James was running straight to NBA Finals appearances, L.A. is what ended LeBron James' streak. What does everybody say when they argue for Michael Jordan? Nobody won a ring on Jordan when he was in his prime. That's what everybody says. I can hear shady sound effects right now off camera. Nobody won a ring on Michael Jordan when he was in his prime. When Bron was in his prime, he went to L.A. and screeching halt. Injured, doesn't finish the season. So I think LeBron's tenure in L.A., success for the Lakers, because we must remember the Lakers were the dregs of the NBA society. They won a championship. But I don't know that it was a success for LeBron, Slick.
Yeah, I see it. I understand how you got there, but I see it the exact opposite way. I see it as it's been a success for LeBron James, but it hasn't been a success for the Lakers. And one of the things that you've pointed up many times is, where did they win the championship?
Bubble.
In the bubble, in Orlando. What did the Lakers get out of that? They didn't get the revenue. They didn't get the parade.
Yeah,
they
didn't get
the euphoria of a playoff run in their building. They've had 2 playoff games, home playoff games, in all the years that LeBron James has been a Laker. So, and who are we blaming for all that? This is where it really gets to the heart of it. We're not blaming LeBron James. We're blaming the Lakers. Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka are looked at as if they have wasted LeBron James's years. I don't know that he was still in his prime when he got there.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, many people feel statistically he was good enough to win championships.
Absolutely.
And he only won one. So I this has served LeBron James in many ways. He got another ring. He can say, I got rings with 3 different teams. I broke the all-time scoring record. Now I'm in the pantheon with Kobe and Wilt and Kareem and Shaq. But what has he given the Lakers? 2 home playoff games and a bubble ring. I think they expected more once they got LeBron James.
Joy, where you at? Where you at? Where you at on this one?
Icy, good over there, Joy.
It does. That bracelet is that. Bracelet is icy. That bracelet is icy.
Thank you. Rick, the Lakers were so bad before LeBron got there.
Yes.
They were so bad.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I can't go there with you. They got a championship.
They did.
Very bad. We were not even talking about the Lakers before LeBron got there. What?
Uh-oh. Slick taking notes.
Asterisk?
Slick.
For what?
Asterisk.
For what?
Championship.
No, don't start.
No.
Absolutely not. We had to win that. No. Because the Heat were playing in that finals, and trust me, if they would have won that championship, I would fight you over that. No, that was a championship, and I'm not getting to the asterisk of it. But they were bad before LeBron got there, and they won a championship. Yep. Their relevance, again, if nothing else, and believe me, the Lakers appreciate that. I think this has been a success. If you win any championship in a tenure, it's been a successful trip. I mean, there are organizations that don't have a championship. And the Lakers have, I don't want to short them, 17, 18
Yeah, they
now.
Have 17.
Yes.
It's a big ring because it ties them with Boston.
That's where I was going with it.
He took
the words out of my mouth.
No, I took you there.
So real quick, let me cut in there. So first of all, Laker fans, they know this best. Out of the most 2 winning teams in basketball is the Celtics and the Lakers. So you said they didn't give them nothing. I disagree. First of all, they get them a banner. Put that banner up there because we're going against the Celtics. Before LeBron James got there, they were a bad, bad team.
Bad, bad.
Kobe Bryant was winding down, right?
Oh,
and they weren't the same.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Every year they was getting a first-round draft pick. Let's just think about this for a second, though, real quick.
Talk to me, 2-5.
2014, Julius Randle, 7th pick overall, right? Mm-hmm. D'Angelo Russell, number two pick overall. Mm. 2016, Brandon Ingram, number two pick overall. Mm-hmm. Alonzo Ball, second pick overall. So for you to say, Alonzo Ball, sorry. Yep. For you to say all that, yeah. It's like, man, I'm thinking like, man, is he right? No, you can't be right, because before LeBron James, there was no sight of no championship, no sight of no banners. I don't care if it's in a bubble or on a real court. You didn't see no signs of them winning.
You're right.
And then I don't know where LeBron James came, and then he brought Anthony Davis, right?
Okay.
Then they got a championship. So, yes, I got to disagree. I think LeBron James and the Lakers, they got something, and he deserves everything he's getting.
They did get something. And I am thinking I'm putting my Lakers fan hat on. Because you know Lakers fans. Like, they think they're supposed to win a championship every year.
True.
And if they don't,
That is true.
There is something wrong. And when you got LeBron James and Anthony Davis, let me flip it around a little bit.
Okay.
You got LeBron James and you got Anthony Davis.
Beast.
Do you think you're only going to have one championship?
That's a good point. You're right.
And then one other playoff appearance.
That's a good point.
You think at the very least you are going to the playoffs every year. Yep. At the very least.
At least two titles.
And that hasn't happened. So it's a matter of the expectation that LeBron James created when he became a Laker, that he was going to bring them to glory. And he did. Look, I'm joking with the asterisk. You win a championship. Yeah. I don't care where it is or how it is. But that said, that's the thing. Have the Lakers been brought back to glory in totality?
It's different. Let me chime in, Slick, because what Slick is making to a good point. LeBron James has done the least for the Lakers than any other Lakers great. As Slick was talking, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about, like,
well, they're greats.
Magic.
They play longer.
Of course.
Okay.
But Magic, Shaq, Kobe, like, all of those Lakers greats, regardless of how long they played, they did a lot. And now LeBron James, clearly he hasn't played as long, but 5 years is a long time now. So it's not a short period of time. Slick, you probably know off top of your head, what was Shaq there? Maybe 9 years, Slick, off top of your head? You might know better than I do. Shaq was probably around 7, 8, 9. But like 5 years to five, that's not a short period of time. Yeah. So I do think, like, compared to a franchise like the Dallas Mavericks, I'm born and raised in Dallas, one chip, Dirk Nowitzki, all hail. Dirk got a whole street named after him because he brought us a chip. That's that first one. He brought us one. But if you in L.A., and you've won 16 prior to LeBron. That's just a drop in the bucket.
That's just different.
A little drop in the bucket. So I do understand that.
I hear you with that. I do. But it's all on LeBron? It's all on LeBron then? Because that's where I start getting into the nuance of the conversation. That's where I think you have to include ownership. You have to include GM. You have to include who he's playing with. You have to include what that owner and GM do with the roster that he's not directly involved in. Those things matter. If you're just talking about, do you win a championship or do you not win a championship, success or not, these polar yes or no questions, then yes, it should be a success. Winning a championship should be considered a success. If you're talking about, well, it's the Lakers, all right, what Lakers? Who's running the Lakers? Who's making these decisions for the Lakers? It's not all LeBron James. It's just not all LeBron James.
LeBron
has a lot of influence, but LeBron and Rich Paul are not making all these decisions. If they were, this trade would have happened earlier.
But the other thing is, and this is a beautiful nuance you brought up yesterday, I just think the world disregards it. When we have conversations like we did in our dressing room earlier today about Eli Manning, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, we're not talking about, well, who's the owner? Who's the coach of the Vikings? Who's the owner for the Giants? We're just talking about the faces.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're talking about LeBron. When we talked about Kevin Durant just 15 minutes ago, we weren't like, who was the owner of the Thunder? Mm.
But them teams you talked about, like with the Lakers, they handled business the right way.
Mm-hmm.
They made the right trades to get the certain players. They made the right plays in free agency to get them players. Okay. They made the right draft picks to get the Magic.
They had Phil Jackson.
Butt's family for a while was doing the right things. So she do got a point. I feel you too, though, because when I argue, I like to say a simple argument. Who's better, who's not.
Yeah.
But when you think about it,
Lakers. But if we were just arguing simply is winning a championship or not winning a championship success or not, then we could do that. Yeah. But when you start throwing another layer in, well, it's the Lakers. All right, well, let's consider all of the nuance then, because you're opening a new door to me.
And I'm happy to walk through that door. Because
go through it, Slick.
Because LeBron wanted Anthony Davis.
And they got a championship.
And they got Anthony Davis. Oh, they did. But would you look at Anthony Davis's career as a Laker in totality and say it's been a success?
Nah. Not LeBron's fault.
Okay.
He's always hurt.
Russell Westbrook. Yeah. LeBron James wanted Russell Westbrook.
Did
that work out? And they gave what they gave away in order to satisfy right. what LeBron wanted. So I can't separate what has happened with the Lakers around LeBron and not say that he hasn't had a significant part in that. Mm-hmm. I can't. It's not like KD. It's not like any other player. LeBron James has influence on every single team. Mm-hmm. And I give him credit for the fact that he went back to Cleveland. And he said, hey, look, you got to get Andrew Wiggins out of here. You got to get Kevin Love in. People question that. Hey, he brought it home. He got a championship.
Brought it home.
All right. So I'm going to give him credit that he got a championship with Anthony Davis. But did he bring the Lakers back to where we expect the Lakers to be?
It's not his job to maintain the Lakers. If you win a championship, all he did in Cleveland was win a championship. Was the championship in Cleveland better than the championship he won with the Lakers? If you say so, it's just because you don't think much of the Cleveland Cavaliers. They both won they won a championship in both places.
But
Anthony, what I think we're trickling very close to is discounting championships overall.
Can't do that.
No, they're to win.
No. I'm not doing that.
Anthony Davis has been disappointing, but he's absolutely been successful. He's an NBA champion.
Again, it's a matter of expectation.
There. Yeah, and standard. Yeah. I think it's a matter of standard because when Brady and Shady, you know this firsthand. We'll do this, go to break. When Brady went to Tampa, he brought the Bucks a chip.
Yeah.
But the Bucks had been atrocious for God knows how long. Brady's chip in Tampa may not have met the same if Brady goes to an organization that is used to winning several chips. Say he goes to the Steelers. That chip don't hit the same because the Steelers, y'all used to getting chips.
Yep. Yeah.
In Tampa, oh, my God, thank you, Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's like
standards
matter.
We wouldn't say you got to win five more because the organization has six. It would still be considered a success. I just think we got to be a little realistic about what we're like. We're throwing a lot of big words out here. They won a championship. That's absolutely success. What is success if not winning a championship?
But I think there's two important words in the question.
Final thoughts.
Has LeBron's Lakers tenure been a success? Now, you could say, was LeBron's X team a success? And the answer would be different. For me, it's LeBron's Lakers tenure, has that been a success? And based on what we expect the Lakers to be and what we expect LeBron to do, it's really hard. Look, has it met his own standard? It has not. One championship
brought him a
in
chip.
5
that's
years?
That's what he promised him. I'm bringing y'all a championship.
He did bring him a chip.
But he did.
But he the king, Shady. He the king.
Respect him.
Respect the king. Okay, coming up, what y'all have to respect, Lamar Jackson's wishes. He is a face of the Baltimore Ravens, but he hasn't got his money yet. What in the world is next for Lamar Jackson, and what should he do to get what he wants? I think he shouldn't step on the field again until he sees $150 million, at least guaranteed. That's next on Speak. Welcome back to Speak. These are my favorite segments of the day, Dave, because this is that real football conversation that you at home, yes, you watching, need to know about. Free agency is about to start, and there are a number of huge name free agents. Dave, I'm going to give you my list. Yep. I chose Ocho. I took 8 years of Spanish, okay? So I know a little something, something, un poquito. I'm going to give you my list of the top 8 available free agents because these are the players that you want your team to pick up in free agency. At number 8, there's a safety that many people may not know the name of, but should, Jesse Bates.
Yep.
Jesse Bates, the reason I have him in my number 8, he's only 25 years of age, has 4 picks this past year, 3 picks in the previous 4 years. So Jesse Bates knows how to find the ball at safety. At number 7, Deron Payne. You know very well Micah Parsons, star defensive lineman for the Dallas Cowboys, outside backer.
That's such a smart pick. Such an under-the-radar
Deron Payne is who Micah Parsons said, I hope the Dallas Cowboys get. He's in my 7. At number 6, a person the show knows all too well, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, leading the league in interceptions with 6 until he got hurt. He was an absolute stud for the Philadelphia Eagles, who wound up in the Super Bowl. At number 5, I got a quarterback, not the quarterback you're thinking, Geno Smith.
I'm back player
is
of the
my
year.
Number 5 free agent available. I really love what Geno did. I have Geno there because Geno, I think, is more pliable for different offenses. At number 4, this is a superstar player. Saquon Barkley. If you can get your hands on Saquon Barkley in free agency, you better find a way to do it. Rounding out at number 3, offensive tackle Orlando Brown, prize possession.
Yep.
Offensive tackle, Super Bowl champion, Chiefs. At number 2, it gets real obvious, Derek Carr. And then at number 1, Lamar Jackson. Yep. So my top 8, I chose Ocho's when you talk about top 8 available free agents. Bates, Payne, Gardner Johnson, Geno, Saquon, Brown, Carr, Lamar Jackson. Who did I miss? Who do I have too high? Where am I at?
I hate myself for this because I love, like, right here, this is football nerd stuff. Like, Deron Payne, I think, is one of the most underrated players in the league. Nasty, big part of that Washington front. Him and Jonathan Allen. I love Jesse Bates getting some love, but this is where I'm going to contradict myself.
Okay.
Because I get tired of talking about the big-name quarterbacks on TV, right? I would love to do a segment about how Washington stops the run and gets after the passer, these big Alabama guys on the front, but there's two big quarterbacks you left off this list. And Daniel Jones and Jimmy Garoppolo are both part of this free agent market.
Okay.
And, again, are they better pure players than Jesse Bates and Deron Payne? I don't think so, but they're quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And it's very rare. You already mentioned Derek Carr and Lamar Jackson. It's very rare to see this number of quality, experienced quarterbacks, guys who have led their teams to the playoffs. In Jimmy's case, a guy who's led his team to the Super Bowl. You don't see them hit the market very often.
Can I tell you my issue with Daniel Jones? While we're looking at him, let me tell you my issue with him. The problem with Daniel Jones is you have to cater your offense to him.
You do.
The only reason Daniel Jones is a somewhat good quarterback is because he was third out of all QBs in rushing. 700 rushing yards. There was Justin Fields. I believe there was Lamar Jackson. And then there was Daniel Jones. I don't want to change my offense around Daniel Jones, Dave. He can't play in every offense. That's why I got Geno there.
I wouldn't take Geno off. I guess the unfair truth of the matter is that just all of the quarterbacks should be on. It's the most important position in the sport. I mean, I hate to win with this easy trump card, but whose contract do you think would be bigger, Daniel Jones or Jesse Bates? It's simple economics, in my opinion.
Do you have any non-quarterbacks that I may have
missed? I've got one, and it's not a knock on Saquon Barkley, but can we give some love to Josh Jacobs? I feel like we never talk about a guy who won the rushing title this year. A guy who was 25 years old. He ran for 1,600 yards. He was second in the league in explosive runs of 10-plus yards. Famously had an 86-yard game winner. I already said it. He's only 25 years old. And by the way, he was never the Derrick Henry, Mark Ingram feature back at Alabama.
Very quickly, here's my issue with Josh Jacobs.
What?
And not my issue with Josh Jacobs.
What?
Here's my issue with the
NFL.
One of
the most underrated running backs in the league.
I always watch if a player has a crazy pop during his contract year. Josh Jacobs, the year before this past year, 872 rushing yards. This year, 1,600. Why? Because it was his contract year. Is this something that Josh Jacobs can maintain? I'm always careful to see if players just ball like crazy during their contract year. Final thought, Dave.
Josh Jacobs has only missed 6 games in his career. He was drafted the year after Saquon. They played the same number of games. The durability is there. I'm just saying, Saquon's great. I think I trust Josh Jacobs a little bit more, and he's got just as much juice. That's all I'm saying. And I feel like we're not even talking about this guy. He's a hell of a running back.
That's a good point. Well, speaking of juice, Lamar Jackson, number one on my list. He's got all the juice as it pertains to game, but not necessarily as it pertains to his pocketbooks. We all know Lamar Jackson is an impending free agent, but the Ravens ain't about to let him walk. Franchise tag or a big payday. But the question is, if Lamar has got to go to drastic measures to get his bag, how drastic are the measures? Shady, should Lamar Jackson hold out if that's what it comes to?
He should definitely hold out. I think he tried to be the nice guy, try to be the team guy, you know, go to OTAs, minicamp with the young guys, teach him the offense, you know, be that leader that the team needs. But no, they don't need that right now. What they need is you to hold out so they get their quarterback for the future. Lamar Jackson, it's time to be the bad guy. I hate to say that, but majority of the players, you got to go in there and fight for what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like T.J. Watt. I remember when the Steelers, Pittsburgh, they love their players. And he's a guy that they love the fans and et cetera. But he had to hold out to get his money. Aaron Donald. Listen, hey, look, man, I will retire before I come back for that contract. Pay me my money. Aaron Rodgers. What did you say? With Jeopardy? Yep.
Jeopardy. Going to go host it.
That's pretty clever, though, right? But anyway, you got to do what you got to do to get your money. It's a business. I know we love the game. We play in football. But listen, Lamar Jackson, if you want that money, and I don't know if you'll get all guaranteed. That's a lot. But I do think that if you want to get the money that you deserve, it might not be fully guaranteed. It might be 80 guaranteed. I don't know. I think that the Ravens could bend a little bit. I think you bend a little bit. You hold out. Make them want you because they really need you.
Yep.
Get that money, man.
Slick, should Lamar Jackson hold
out
if it comes to that?
He should hold out. But that's not nearly enough. You guys have already talked about it. Every guy in the NFL, pretty much, when they're up against it, holds out until they get what they want or they get something close to what they want.
Yeah.
He has to do more than that. He has to hold out. He has to say precisely what it is that he wants, because we don't know that. Does he want a fully guaranteed deal? Is that what it's going to take to make this happen? And then he has to take one more step. He has to say, I will not play this season on a franchise tag. Now you're holding their feet to the fire. Now you're saying, you need to give me the deal that I want, or I'm not going to be playing this season. Because otherwise, it remains that give and take. And you guys know this, having played in the league, and I'm sure, Joy, you know this as well. When you have an agent, established agent, you can get through back channels. You can let everybody know what it is that it's going to take to make happen. You can sort of influence the public feeling about where your stance is. My understanding is Lamar has his mom as his agent, which I have no issue with, but I wonder whether she has the back channels through the media in various ways to get that message out there. So if they don't have that, then Lamar has to do that. But to me, it's, you have been the nice guy up to this point, and you are trying to get something that everybody is sort of questioning. Does it really? Would you give him a fully guaranteed deal? Well, if that's what you're after, then make it clear that's what it's going to take to keep you in a Ravens uniform.
I actually don't disagree, because if that's really what he's going after, it's going to be bigger than the Ravens anyway.
Wait a minute, could you just say that again?
I agree with you.
This doesn't happen
on the
very
Lakers,
often.
Not
what?
Maybe.
What was that?
No, I do. I agree. Okay. I agree, Slick Rick. You are going to have to be very transparent about what it is you want, because it's not just the Ravens that you're dealing with if that's what it's coming down to. You are negotiating somewhere else at that point if the Ravens are choosing to move on from you. Because if someone else is going to trade for you, they're going to trade knowing what they're going to pay you. Otherwise, they wouldn't be giving up picks, which they'll have to do in order to get you. So it will have to be very transparent to the whole league what you're trying to accomplish. Again, I've said this from the beginning, I didn't like the Deshaun Watson deal for the Browns. I do think from a business perspective, I want everyone to make as much money as they possibly can. But from a business perspective, putting that much guaranteed money into one player, even if it is the most important player, at some point, you're going to reach a point of diminished return. They're just paying too much money for one specific thing, which could be injured or any number of things could happen and that's not available. So I don't think that is what the actual market is. I think that's an outlier. But again, Lamar Jackson doesn't care about that. Nor should he. He plays that position, and he plays it better than the person that they gave that money to. So I would agree. If he's going to push for a fully guaranteed deal more than what Deshaun Watson got, he has to make that transparent with everyone, because if it doesn't happen with the Ravens, it's going to have to happen with somebody else.
Shady, can we have a real conversation real quick?
I always keep it real.
Daniel Jones, he's up for some money. Not Lamar Jackson money, but he's up for some money. What did Daniel Jones do? I believe it was just 2 days ago. He switched agents. He went from CAA to Athletes First.
Yep.
Because he said, you know what? I might be able to find another agent in Athletes First. They got some agents that's capable of getting me a bigger bag. Mm. At what point would you advise Lamar Jackson to say, you know what? Josh Allen got his bread.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes got his bread.
Yeah.
Deshaun got his bread. Dak got his bread. And you could argue you better than all of them except for Mahomes. Lamar, maybe consider switching agents. Maybe could, like, at what point would you, somebody who has been the highest paid at their position, you, Shady, you like, you different than everybody else. At what point would you be like, Lamar, I feel you, big dog. But maybe it's time to just switch agents and see if you have a better opportunity getting paper. Because we just saw Daniel Jones do it. At what point?
And you want me to be 100?
Keep it a buck.
I disagree with y'all, right? I think Lamar Jackson having his mom as his agent is perfect.
Okay.
I think that maybe they could, and we don't know this. We don't know if she has some extra help, because all agencies do that,
sure.
Right? And even Daniel Jones, from him changing agents, like, let's get this thing straight. You're the product that they need, that they want. Lamar Jackson will have to go there and, like, I need this, I need that. They already know that. I don't need no super agent to tell you that, right? It's a market thing. This quarterback got paid this much, right? He got paid this much. It goes in order. I'm better than all these guys. Now, I think that the issue is, it's never been done where, you know, the Browns, they just do crazy stuff. They pay Deshaun Watson. He's been out of football. They pay him all that money guaranteed. So that's like the biggest issue here. Mm-hmm. But I like what he's doing. He's keeping it in-house. If I had to do it all over again,
for all my successful years, all my big-time years, I had to get a contract. Y'all know what time it is. Mm-hmm. I'm the best running back, or let's just say I'm top five. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson said top five quarterback. Yep. I'm top five running back. Y'all need me. I'm the best player on the team. I'm an MVP. You got to pay me. My mom's going to do my contract, right? And then they have a lawyer that to write it up a certain way.
Yeah.
It's really not that hard. It's just like if I don't know, a Sprite or somebody, right? Uh-huh. And you got this athlete and you want him, right? I don't need no super agent to do that deal. Maybe have an agent in the background to work the wordage out and et cetera, but yep. You can do that deal.
But man, I would agree with you on that because this is his big deal. If you're trying to get back in the league or you're trying to get workouts or things like that, you need somebody to pay
exactly.
You, then I would agree. But
the second deal is always the easiest deal. Every big-time player gets their money.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson is up to get paid. It's really a scale thing, and the Browns broke the scale.
Could I'll ask you a question.
Yep.
You said, who you said, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes? Could you do Patrick Mahomes' contract?
I wouldn't have thought to do it like they did it. Because, remember, Patrick Mahomes' contract was the first of its kind.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson's contract was the
give
first
me somebody,
of its
give me, or give me somebody else.
Maybe you could have done Aaron Rodgers, because that was fairly easy.
Great, great players. It's easy to get the deal done because it's two parties that both want to beat each other. I want to play for you, and you want me to play for you.
But the Browns have thrown a wrench into that.
They did.
Because,
they did.
Well, and that's where it has to be.
Because of the agent.
But I think any agent, like I had Drew Rosenhaus, he's always been the top of the line,
yep,
right?
Been like that.
I don't think that if I'm a quarterback, it's going to be easy for me to go on there and just get all guaranteed money if I had Drew Rosenhaus. Mm-hmm. Any quarterback's going to be hard to get that.
Okay, but are you saying that you would give Lamar Jackson fully guarantee long-term deal the same as Deshaun Watson?
Would I do that?
Yes.
I probably wouldn't do that.
Okay.
This is what I would do. I would try my hardest, or my best to get a close contract where we both can agree on something. Yeah. That's what contracts are.
If both parties end up happy, it's a win. If both parties end up
upset. You won't get everything you want.
Understood.
Listen, I asked for two booths with the Philadelphia Eagles. They only gave me one. Two boxes, yeah. I also, last thing I asked for, what was 10 a year or 9.5? I wanted like $2 million yearly, right? They wouldn't do it. And then I wanted to jump over Arian Foster, and they let me happen. You know what they let me happen? I wanted $1 million over, they gave me $300,000 over. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
it's wiggle room.
That's what we call first world.
That's negotiation.
That's what we call that.
I got my money.
My guy wanted two boxes, bro.
How many people we got one.
At the game? Yeah. I know grandma watches. She got to be at the
grandma
game. Mom's got to be at the game.
Underserved.
Okay, coming up, Kevin Durant. Does he have to bring a title to Phoenix, or would it be a failure? We're having too much fun on this show. Don't go anywhere, y'all.
Slick. I'm trying to get it slick.
What do you need two?
You got to ask.
As we celebrate Black History Month, I'd like to honor Thurgood Marshall. Thurgood Marshall was a civil rights lawyer who used the court to fight Jim Crow, dismantle segregation in the U.S. Marshall, a towering figure of a man, became the nation's first Black United States Supreme Court justice. He's best known for arguing the historic case, Brown versus the Board of Education, in 1954, in which the Supreme Court declared separate but equal unconstitutional in public schools. He used the power of the court to fight racism, discrimination, change the status quo, and make life better for the most vulnerable in our nation. During his nearly 25-year tenure on the Supreme Court, Marshall fought for affirmative action for minorities, held strong against the death penalty, and supported women's rights to choose if an abortion was appropriate for her. Justice Marshall had one simple mission: equal justice for all.
Good to see y'all, Slick. It's good to see you, my brother. No greater basketball mind on television than my man here, Slick Rick the Buker. Well, Slick, arguably no greater basketball player on the court than Kevin Durant. He's in Phoenix. But former NBA All-Star Gilbert Arenas said this, and it was truly baffling when he said it. He said KD's biggest failure would be going to Phoenix and not winning a title. But Slick, what do you say about that?
It would barely slide into his top three. First of all, we got Brooklyn, okay? Have we already forgotten about Brooklyn?
Yep.
Brooklyn had the opportunity to build the team as he wanted, and they did his bidding. They brought in Kyrie Irving. They brought in James Harden. They hired Steve Nash.
Okay.
All right? DeAndre Jordan signed him because that's who he wanted.
Yep.
And what did they do? Three playoff appearances, never got past the second round. That's what Deron Williams did in his stead there. So I can't look at what KD was given and what he accomplished and not feel that it was a failure. That's one.
Okay, what's two?
Two. We've forgotten this. We look at Oklahoma City, and it's Oklahoma City. Have we forgotten that in 2016, the Oklahoma City Thunder and Kevin Durant?
They were up.
Were up 3-1.
That did happen.
Golden State Warriors. That did happen. And if we look at the Golden State Warriors and their loss after being up 3-1 in the finals that year as the greatest failure of the big three for the Golden State Warriors, how can we not look at being up 3-1 against the Warriors as not a failure? Certainly bigger than going to Phoenix.
Slick, talk to me about the tenure in OKC. 9 years Kevin Durant was in OKC. Yep. Do you consider that 9-year tenure a failure? Although he did go to the NBA Finals, he did lose to LeBron James. He was up 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors. Like, there was a lot of success that occurred in OKC.
There was.
Was that tenure a success or was that tenure a failure?
I don't want to say that the entire tenure was a failure because they did go to 4 Western Conference Finals. They did go to the Finals. Ultimately, though, you're talking about Kevin Durant, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka. Like, you went to 4 Western Conference Finals, and you only went to the finals once, and you never won a ring. I would focus on that 1 year, though. You had the opportunity. You're up 3-1. This is your chance to go and win it all. And the feeling was, and obviously Cleveland changed that because of Draymond Green and a lot of other variables, but the feeling was whoever came out of the West that year was going to win it. And there's still plenty of people out there who believe that if the Oklahoma City Thunder had reached the finals that year, that they would have beaten anything that Cleveland could have put on the floor.
Slick, I appreciate you. I got to head back to the desk and ask the rest of the brilliant minds sitting here. Dave, I haven't gotten your input on this yet. I know you watch basketball like you watch football, and more than anything, you are a fan of people playing games at the high level. Would KD not winning a title in Phoenix be his biggest failure?
I don't even think it would register. I kind of like what Slick just said. Like, okay, it would be disappointing, right? It would be disappointing with the star power there. I have a hard time seeing how it would be a failure. I know Kevin Durant requested a trade, but at the end of the day, the Suns went and got him. Like, I don't even know how this winds up being on KD. You know, like your analogy from the other day about icing on the cake. Maybe that's a little extreme, but Kevin Durant is being added to a team that was already pretty damn good. Like, they've made a finals appearance. Why is this on Kevin Durant? Honestly, can I put my dorky spin on it? Can we get my poll from earlier in the show? Yeah. Kevin Durant was on the cover of the New Yorker, y'all. The Brooklyn Nets. Look, if you're not a nerd like me, look, the New Yorker is not a sports magazine. They do book reviews. They cover politics. It's very, you know, very highbrow, nerdy publication. And Harden, Kyrie, and Durant were on the cover of the New Yorker. That's how big of a deal it was that they went to the Brooklyn Nets. It was a big deal. And not only did they not accomplish anything, we barely even saw it happen. Like, these guys barely played together. What?
16 games?
16 games? 6 games in the playoffs. Like, it's almost like it didn't happen, and I think that's why we gloss over it, because it didn't even come to fruition. That's how big of a failure it was. We didn't even get to see what it would really look like. Nothing Kevin Durant could do in Phoenix would even register to how crazy of a failure that is. It's insulting to think, especially since, again, at the end of the day, this wasn't his call. The Suns went and got him. Now, I don't even put this on Kevin Durant. Brooklyn? I can't get over that. He's on the cover of the New Yorker, man. It transcended sports. It's a gorgeous drawing. Yeah. I'd love to, like, I'd frame it if I was a Nets fan, except it was an abject failure. So you can't even do anything with it. No, it's not even close.
It's not close. Joy, where do you stand on that? Would the failure in Phoenix be the biggest failure if it happened?
I think I could be persuaded with Brooklyn. I think I'm just so tired of talking about it.
I get it.
Like, I don't want to go there. But I definitely don't think it's Phoenix. I agree with David. The Phoenix is not Durant's responsibility. If he comes there and wins it, then it should be one of his greatest accomplishments. If it's on the board that it will be one of his greatest failures, then it must also be a great accomplishment. I don't see how you can argue against that. Brooklyn was an absolute failure, but I guess I don't lay it at the feet of Kevin Durant, which is why I would push back on that being his responsibility.
I mean, failure, Kevin Durant, it don't even make sense.
Right.
It's Kevin Durant. It's one of the greatest players to ever play. I just think that, if in my words, I would say that it'd be like a basketball letdown. I would just say that because the Suns, they have players that actually want to play. Where in the Brooklyn, I feel like you can't blame him because he can't control what Kyrie does off the court, right? He can't control if James Harden wants to play or don't want to play. You can't control that. I think with this team, with a guy like CP3, Chris Paul wants to win. He's like dying to get a championship. Oh, for year and year, he talks about it. And then Devin Booker, who was a beast,
he's emerged to this superstar. So I think it's a perfect team and perfect match. You bring Kevin Durant, they got a big chance to win a championship.
Not a failure, but a basketball letdown. Has a good ring to it.
That's what I do. That's what they call me. Basketball. Don't leave me hanging.
A basketball letdown. Well, coming up, LeBron James. They would be very much so basketball letdown if they don't make the playoffs this year. We will tell you, though, has LeBron already done what he's supposed to do in L.A.? He did win a chip, but he's also missed the playoffs a couple times. Next on Speed.
Basketball letdown.
Okay, let's get back to the action. LeBron James, he has been fighting for a playoff spot. He said the last 23 games are the most important 23 regular season games of his career. But L.A., looking at the 13th seed, remember what LeBron has accomplished in his time in L.A. He won a championship, albeit it was in the bubble. He broke the all-time scoring record, also while wearing purple and gold. Shaquille O'Neal said that what LeBron did, it was enough. He already did what he was supposed to do as a Laker. Now, everybody's here. We got the whole desk full. I cannot wait to dive into this one. Slick, I'm going to give you the first stab at this.
Get him, Slick.
Is Shaq accurate? Has LeBron already done what he's supposed to do as a Laker?
Technically, yes, because he won a championship. But as a Laker and as LeBron James, you expect more than that. And we expected more than that. Now, LeBron James came to L.A., let's be honest. He came here because he has a production company here. This is where he wanted his son to go to high school, to go to Sierra Canyon with a lot of other high-profile players.
Can't
right?
Blame like, can't blame
he was setting
can't
himself up. He accomplished that. Oh, he broke an all-time scoring record in a Lakers uniform with
That's
Kareem.
Big.
That was a nice moment, right? He got that. He got all of that. But from a Lakers perspective, did he accomplish everything? And I'll leave it to you guys to answer the question. Did he return the Lakers to the glory that we're used to the Lakers enjoying? Has he done that in a Lakers uniform? Because for me, that would be a success.
That is the question. Joy, what do you say? Has LeBron already done what he's supposed to do as a Laker?
Even though I'm over here, I can still feel it.
Yes. Hell yes. What's more than winning a championship? What's more than breaking Kareem's record with Kareem in the building in Los Angeles?
Good.
A record we didn't think was possible to be broken. It's Kareem. Skyhook. In the building. Championship. What else is he supposed to do?
It's kind of basic Lakers
every year?
Stuff.
Lakers were doing what, Shady, before LeBron got here?
Losing.
Losing. Bad. Drafting players at the top of the NBA draft. Rebuilding. They were
Rebuilding.
Not good.
Rebuilding. There you go.
They were not good. Who are you bragging about? Multiple championships. What were y'all before I got here? We weren't talking about y'all. We weren't talking about y'all. There was nothing to talk about. And that was the Lakers. That's hard to do. Shady, it's hard to do.
Hard to do.
It's hard to not talk about the Cowboys. It's hard to not talk about the Lakers.
Let me think about this, though. And, Shady, I'm going to pose this to you because at worst, Tom Brady with the Bucks, who you won a Super Bowl with in Tampa, mind you, at worst with the Bucks, he was in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, Tom Brady's worst occasion with the Bucks was this last year where he still made the playoffs, albeit he lost, but he made the playoffs. He won a Super Bowl year one.
Brady, okay.
He won a playoff game year two and then lost, and then he made the playoffs. So the Bucks were never as bad as the Lakers were. At worst, we're comparing GOAT to GOAT, potential GOAT to potential GOAT.
GOAT. To GOAT.
So you played with Tom Brady. You played with the literal GOAT. You tell me, because you were there in Tampa, you understand the parallel. Has LeBron's tenure in L.A. been a success already?
I'm going to say yes, right? And you GOAT to GOAT, Bron and Brady.
Yep.
I'm going to play with that for a second.
Please do.
So you talked about the Bucks. The Bucks, they never win. It's just, oh, my God, we won a championship. But let's go to the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Right? He won six championships there.
Yep.
So we can see now that they're not winning any more championships. They don't look good at all. Mm-hmm. So let's say a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, after Andy Reid, he goes to the Patriots.
I like what you're doing here.
They've been losing all these first-round draft picks, paying all these guys for agency, still not winning. Then they get Patrick Mahomes, and they win a championship. It's the same thing.
A championship.
Okay, one championship. Cool. My thing is this. With the Lakers, it's a great franchise, right? It's either the Celtics or the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
They win championships. Where Kobe Bryant was winding down, he's the last superstar Laker, mm-hmm. the legend, right? They were drafting like every lottery every year. 2014, Julius Randle. 2015, D'Angelo Russell. Mm-hmm. 2016, Brandon Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the Ball kid at 2017, Lonzo Ball. So who's thinking about a championship?
I guess.
You're talking about a couple. I'm just talking about one. Who's thinking about one championship? LeBron, he comes there. What's he do? He guarantees him a championship, and what's he do? He brings him a championship.
Deliver.
Get his man's respect. Come on, please.
I'm glad
put the crown on me. I'll talk about the king.
I'm glad that you brought up Patrick Mahomes going to the Patriots.
Okay.
Because that is a fair parallel. If it was just any quarterback going to the Patriots.
Right.
Yeah. Then we would and he won a Super Bowl. He mm-hmm. won a championship.
So
we go. Thank you. But this is LeBron James that we're talking about.
We would say that. I bet the Patriots look. We would say that. I bet they look. We would just say
If Patrick Mahomes went to the Patriots and he only won one championship in 5 years.
Come on now.
It's a banner.
A banner is a banner.
But let me, Dave, I'm going to get you in on this.
I'm
going to pass you the rock like this, though, Dave.
No, look.
LeBron did more for every other franchise than he did for the Lakers. Mm. You could say he did more in Cleveland, undoubtedly. First tenure, only went to a chip and he didn't win in 07. He clearly did more in Miami. Joy was there. You could say, like, if you're the Lakers, LeBron, you're expecting is, he went to four straight in Cleveland. He went to four straight in Miami. He going to give us about three or four. He got to give about three or four, Shady. Got to give me about three or four. And he gave me one. Missed the playoffs, one and done, might miss the playoffs. So, Dave, answer the question in regards to that.
You listed a lot of years.
That was really good.
And you know why? What year did he even get to L.A.? Is it year 17?
He was 33 at the time.
That ain't young.
That's not young. That's a lot of minutes. How many times has this man have been to the finals? You know how many extra games that is?
But he's saying I can still win championships.
He's played, I think, three extra seasons with all
from the postseason
Olympics games.
My man, like, he even at the age of 33, like, that's a lot of basketball. And he still comes here. And by the way, I'm going to steal all of Joy's talking points because she already made them. If it wasn't bad TV, I would have been off camera hooting and hollering, like, oh, go, go. First of all, he delivered. Second of all, why is it always LeBron? I mean, Anthony Davis is a big part of this as well. Like, his lack of availability is part of it.
That's who we wanted.
How about they won when he's been available? They won a championship. How about – I can't get over this. You made me mad.
Get him, Dave.
You said he won a championship, albeit in the bubble. Stop saying that. I don't care.
It's true.
If the Miami Heat had won that series, nobody would say Jimmy Butler, who led the Heat past the mighty LeBron James, albeit in the bubble. Nobody would say that. Yeah, nobody would do it to anybody
but this man.
Standard we hold this guy to is incredible to me.
I would say, though, in basketball, Slick, correct me if I'm wrong, you do contextualize. Hakeem Olajuwon got two rings, but Jordan was retired.
Did the whole
league? You contextualize.
Did the whole league agree on these rules or not? Like, did everybody's like, okay, we'll do to the testing, we'll show up in Orlando, we'll play these games.
All we have to do is agree on this show. That's all.
Everybody played by the same rules, and LeBron went through a whole 16-team tournament just like every other team that's ever won.
No. I'm not.
The banner's up in crypto right now, like down the street, right? It's there.
I'm just answering the question when it comes to the Lakers. That bubble, you contextualize it because winning in the bubble in Orlando, where it didn't do anything for your fan base, it didn't do anything
for
your bottom line.
That's bad luck. But look, I mean, it's bad luck. But LeBron went
part of it.
He did it.
KD, and we talked about whether that was a success or a failure. And he had bad luck.
I just want to throw this out there.
Before
LeBron showed up, the last six seasons were not even winning, losing seasons. They had a 17-win season.
He's not wrong.
And then LeBron won them a championship.
He is not wrong. Welcome back to Speak, the most important question of the day. Joy, where in the world did you get that hat?
It's a gift. It's a gift from the Speak crew for my birthday. Capricorns, we celebrate all year round, so I accept it.
Does it one size fits all? Or what, like?
Yeah, well, I don't know. How big is your head?
Imagine this in the club with bottle service. Sparkles coming out.
Hey, you gonna pull it off?
No.
Y'all, that's it for us.